Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition, post-global sports classic edition, Rob Mish's favorite basketball tournament of the holiday season. Ryan Green and the aforementioned Rob Mish here to talk about UNLV's 0-2 weekend at home. That doesn't happen very often. Rob, spit some numbers.
You mean that I like this tournament over the Maui Classic?
And the Great Alaskan Shootout.
Wrong. No, this was a snoozer. How are you today, Ryan?
I'm delightful right now.
Let me ask you something. What's your birthday?
3/23/82.
Epic. Epic. You know why that fits right now? Why
is that?
In your lifetime, breathing air on this earth.
Oh, no.
This is the very first time that UNLV has lost basketball games at home on consecutive days. This had not happened since January 2 and 3 in 1981.
Think about all the great things that happened in this world since then.
Wow. Unbelievable. That's a long stretch. This is definitely epic.
And, you graduated college?
Eventually.
The Spice Girls came and went.
Yeah.
The Budweiser Frogs were around and popular for a while. I mean, these are just landmark events that I think of.
It almost goes back to the release of London Calling by The Clash.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So they got that going for them. But, yeah, this was epic.
But this game was not epic in very many ways.
Nope. It was a rough weekend for UNLV. It's been a rough season. They pulled out some victories early on, like we have documented over and over again, and they weren't pretty, and it's kind of coming back. That sloppiness has come back to haunt them.
Yep. It certainly did. After shooting 19-64 from the floor in a loss to Cal on Friday night, UNLV goes 22-57 24 hours later, and you know, there's obviously one area we want to talk about inside of that, and that is the one and only Wink Adams going 2-11 from the floor. Just had a tough weekend, 5-25 from the floor with Mama Wink in town. Not the way he probably wanted to have it. Before we talk about it, here's Lon Kruger, Joe Darger, Wink Adams. Spit some knowledge on us, gentlemen.
Wink will bounce out of it. He's got to be aggressive for us. We need him to keep attacking. We need him to do the things he's capable of doing. And he'll bounce back and do that, no doubt about that. Anytime you play a game, there's going to be some things you like about it. You know, certainly the losing, you know, takes the edge off of the thing that you do like. But Joe stepping up there and shooting the ball great is a big plus. And he's been doing that, you know, the last three or four ball games, especially looking much more comfortable shooting it and making shots. Thought Trevon, great energy, and he was attacking all the time, made a lot of good plays, found Joe a couple times in penetration. You know, like Trevon continues to make a lot of good plays for us. You know, we made a good play there in the second half in transition where he stopped and shot a little jumper. He'd been charging on that play, you know, up to this point, so liked his decision there in transition.
I don't think it's happened to me since I've been here. Played two good teams and you know, we just didn't quite have enough tonight. You know, we played our hearts out, and I just think we probably got beat up pretty good on the boards and gave him too many second chance shots. So go back and, you know, go back and look at the film and make some adjustments. I don't know. I mean, it's frustrating when you go through something like that. I mean, I think we've all been through them, and I was in one for a while, and you know, it's frustrating because, you know, spend a lot of time, you know, getting extra shots back to practice and doing a lot of extra things, and getting into a slump like that, it kind of makes it worse. I mean, I think every game, you know, I think, you know, this team, you know, every game someone else is, someone different is going to step up and play well. But, you know, it's definitely not good to have Wink in a slump. And, you know, he's such a huge part of our team and our offense, and, you know, we just need to get him back.
We got some line, you know, that was a play, but, you know, I've been in this shooting slump lately. So, you know, tonight, you know, all I could do is try to make plays and, you know, rebound, you know, because I just can't hit no shots, but, you know, we got the open shots that we wanted. You know, just a lot of them didn't fall. And, you know, at the end, you know, Joe hit some shots, and, you know, I got some free throw line. Trey got some free throw line. Joe and Trey got a three. So, you know, it was just a cold basket at the end that kind of, you know, lost the game for us. Oh, man, it surprised me because, you know, it left my fingers. It felt pretty good, but, you know, it came up short. So, you know I had to hit the second one, but, you know, Coach Carr's time out. You know, we had a great chance to, you know, foul, had a lot of time on the clock, so, you know, next time I definitely got to knock those down. Man, if not tonight, definitely in the morning. You know, I got to come back tomorrow morning. I knew my mother, she's here, so she's going to definitely have me in the gym shooting tomorrow. You know, she's going to interview me all night tonight. So I know definitely I'm going to be up in the morning. She's going to have me in the gym shooting. And, you know, hopefully, you know, before she leave, I can shoot out.
All right. Well, that's what they had to say. Now what we got to say, Wink Adams. This is obviously for a guy who's been as efficient for as long as he has in a UNLV uniform, it's pretty much a given that at some point he's going to snap out of this. But it came at a time when, you know, UNLV was 5-0 coming off coming off of a road victory at UTEP, and he just had a great game down in El Paso and then came home and it just wasn't his weekend.
No. And it's probably quite a letdown for a lot of fans because they went to UTEP. They were trailing by 13 in the first half, and then all of a sudden they get a spark. They go into the half. They had cut their lead, and they shoot out of the gate, 7-0 run. They get back control. They win that game on the road. So people were probably thinking really, really highly of this team. 5-0 coming home thinking, hey, couple wins, get ranked next week. Hang on just a second. Didn't exactly happen that way. I did talk to a former coach, a friend of mine tonight, who really wanted to say that UTEP looked really good to him. So I don't know if that makes this weekend better or worse, but he was he had a lot to say about that good win in El Paso. Flash forward to the last 2 days, though, and it was really rough going. These tough stretches for Wink, they're not new. He's had them before. In fact, his first five games at UNLV, he shot 12 for 48, 25%, before eventually pulling out of it. That season also, he had another rough stretch of 4 for 24 in three games, and he pulled that out with he went 7 for 12 in his next game. And he had two spots as a sophomore, one spot last year, and he pulled himself out of them. So, you know, at least his stretches as a sophomore and junior when he got in these funks, they did not last long. So maybe that means good things for the Rebels come Fresno and come Reno next week.
And that's the other thing. We got to remind some people, it's not like we're talking about Ray Allen here in terms of shooting percentage. You know, I mean, Wink coming into the season, only a 40% shooter. Right. The style of game he plays you know, affords him a lot of opportunities to get to the free throw line. He takes a lot of shots on the move. Not your, I guess, prototypical set shooter. So it's there. You know, he takes some more complicated shots than a lot of teams leading scorers.
He sure does, and he's built for the drive. He's built for taking punishment, and he's built for finishing while he takes that punishment. You know, we both have seen it in the preseason. You did a really good piece in the preseason about how much strength he has added. What's he squatting, 500 pounds?
What? Plus, yeah.
That's impressive. And my question, just thinking out loud, I'm curious, is he not too strong, but is he learning how to maybe adjust his shot with that added muscle? Because his shot has been off.
Yeah, and especially added muscle in the upper body too.
Right.
We've noticed how much more defined the upper body is, and who knows, maybe the fresh ink has something to do with it.
Maybe he's listening to the left a little.
You never know.
But you know what? I think that was for a purpose. When you're in this system under Jason Cabo, you're gonna get stronger, and that's gonna tailor Lon Kruger's game. He wants you to play tough defense. He wants you to play rough. You got to be strong, and for the next level, Wink is gonna have to be strong. He's kind of setting himself up for that. Obviously, we're talking very obvious things here, and maybe he just has to adjust with that.
And you know, you mentioned the he gets to the free throw line a lot. He's built for the drive. With that said, I guess maybe one of the more concerning things from tonight was the free throw miss.
Yep.
In the final 10 seconds, down by two, and Adams split a pair, missed the first. This is a guy who shot just a hair under 85% from the line last year, only shooting at about 74.
Right
now, early in the season. Again, maybe this is all attributed to those things that were talked about earlier. And you know, that free throw definitely gnawed at him afterwards talking to him. That free throw definitely got to him. He was not happy.
Sure, and that's understandable. And I'm sure Kruger doesn't mind that. You know, when you lose, you should have people who take ownership of it. But you can point just as easily to Dario Santee's two misses at the line.
Exactly.
And he's usually very dependable. There's a lot of things you can point to, you know. We can talk about Kendall Wallace's hitting the side of the backboard on a three-point attempt. I don't know if I've ever seen that in 18 years of college basketball, but we'll move on. The thing about Adams and shooting poorly, they're all shooting poorly, you know. The irony is they go on the road and shoot 50% in the first half in El Paso, shoot 52% in the second half. That is standing out as one of their finest stretches. Of course, against Northern Arizona in that blowout, they shot 64% first half, 52% in the second half. However, you take out those two games, they have 10 halves at home where they have shot less than 42.9%, less than 43%. That's not going to get it done. That's pretty putrid.
Well, yeah, and like you said, he's not the only one. Mo Rutledge, 1 of 6 off the bench. Rene Rougeau, another full stat line, but only 3 of 10 from the floor. So, you know, he's not the only one with these issues. But I guess there are some positives to talk about, because a couple guys, you know, really did take ownership of this game in the stretch and really tried to take control for the Rebels. Those two, I think we would probably agree, being Trevon Willis and Joe Darger.
Right. You expect, you know, Joe has had a pattern this year. He was kind of off his first two games, on his next two, off his next two. So if the pattern stays, he was going to have a good game tonight, and he sure did. I think the biggest thing to take from this game is Trevon Willis. I believe he emerged as a bona fide team leader. He took this loss very hard afterward. He took yesterday's loss against Cal very hard.
Yep.
He didn't sleep. He kept toiling. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He was a grump, and he said that's not the way to be. So he was actually, at least he was talkative after today's game, but he had a very nice line. He had 18 points, made 6 of 7 free throws, 6 of 10 from the field, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. He wants to cut down those turnovers, but he is he's taking what Kruger has to say, and it's really sinking in. We saw him make a move in the second half. Whereas in the past, not that he has a long career here at UNLV, but we've seen him be a bull in a china shop. He's been regularly getting some charging calls. And tonight we saw him pull up about little 6-7 footer. He didn't keep going through the lane. He pulled up and hit a nice little soft J. And he said, yeah, he's trying to learn. He's trying to sink it all in and get better. And we saw him for the first time not split minutes at the point with Oscar Belfield.
It was not split very even.
It sure wasn't. And Trey had 4 fouls on him during the last half of the second half. So he was in danger of getting yanked, and he played under control. And hey, if he hits a certain three-pointer in between Mitchell's 2 threes, it's a different game. So
I think that's maybe the most impressive part of his night. You know, Kruger talked about him learning as he's going along with that pull-up jumper. But, you know, the fact that, I mean, the guy played most of the second half with 4 fouls. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who is easily one of UNLV's most aggressive defenders. He was up on Cincinnati's guards well away from the perimeter.
Right.
You know, this is a guy who really, I think, impressed in that regard. He played clean defense and by doing so was able to help keep UNLV in the game late. I guess Joe Darger, we talked about the 6 three-pointers. Going back to another area where UNLV struggled a bit was, you know, they lost a battle inside with a Cincinnati team that brought a lot of size
to the table.
They had a lot of, as you call them, footers.
No doubt.
They were, you know, Cincinnati out-rebounded UNLV 43-36. The third straight game the Rebels have been out-rebounded, and the last two have been by decent margins. UTEP was only by 1.
No doubt.
But, you know, Mike Williams, arguably their most talented post player, 4 points, 2 rebounds in 25 minutes for the second straight night, plays out of foul trouble. And Mick Cronin, Cincinnati's coach, after their loss Friday night to Florida State, said the one thing that was the most disappointing was that when he did go down in foul trouble, he played 25 minutes also on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of the other big guys really stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of them did, got the message, and none more than probably Yancey Gates in 19 minutes off the bench, 16 points, 7 rebounds, and a lot of productivity in that second half.
Boy, Ryan, that was just such an impressive job by their reserves. Remember, we watched UNLV's bench in 2 of their preseason games score over 30 points, and at that time you thought, well, maybe this can be more than an anomaly. Maybe they can really produce and contribute when they need it most, say, against the Cal, against the Cincinnati, but they didn't. Cincinnati is the team that stepped up with 39 points and 28 boards off the bench. That is that's going to hurt you.
And UNLV scored 7 points off the bench, and the big guys were outnumbered. You know, Darius Santee had 4 rebounds, and there were a lot of situations where, you know, in some of these earlier season games, he's been going up, between two opponents grabbing rebounds, but tonight he's going up between 2 7-footers, that kind of hampered him. Bryce Mesamba, 12 minutes off the bench, only had 1 rebound. The boards just weren't easy to come by.
No, it was it was really tough going for him. When you combine poor shooting and not being able to get the boards, that's a combustible, dangerous mixture. And all that being said, they lost by 2 points. So,
yep.
But you know, you look at Cincinnati stats: 17 of their 43 boards on offensive end. Wow, that is rough.
Including that one series where they didn't come away with any points from it, but they had one series where Deontay Vaughn, who had 16 points for him and shot 13 3-pointers, had 3 3-point attempts on the same possession.
Wow.
Because of the offensive. I'm sure you remember that series.
Sure.
The crowd was really getting into it, and you know, they didn't come away with points, but they certainly took some mental edge away from that little exchange.
Yeah, that was tough for UNLV fans to watch. And you know, when all said and done, Vaughn, he ends up 5 for 19 for the night. Very poor. You look at Larry Davis, 0 for 10. Wow. Sometimes you hit shots and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's a very basic game. Look at Alvin Mitchell. When he hit those two big back-to-back threes,
8-0 run right out of the timeout.
He had 2 points to that point, you know,
yep.
And then bam, there he is. In between those two shots is when Trayvon missed his three-pointer, and he really kicked himself hard after the game. He said that Wink worked so well in driving through the lane and popping it to him, and he was so wide open. He told me he's going to see that shot in his nightmares tonight because it was just right there for the Pickens. And he knows that he could have stemmed the tide there for that little run. And Cincinnati got that cushion and didn't give it back.
Well, Trayvon may be more excited than any Rebel for what's on the horizon now for UNLV, as it is early season. They're 5-2, which is still very good at this point, but they're up against it a little bit now. Over the next week, 2 road games, they go to Fresno State, of course, Trevon Willis's hometown, and then they're heading to Reno on Saturday for what's sure to be a pretty fun atmosphere. What's the prognosis here as UNLV is heading to Fresno on Wednesday? Let's look ahead a little bit.
Probably good. Probably darn good. And I'd use stronger language, but this is a public podcast.
Yeah.
A family podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry, sure. I think it's darn good because get them out of the MAC. There's some bugaboo here, you know. They played well at UTEP. Let's see if it can continue on the road and they can work their kinks out on the road. Maybe that's what they need.
Cutting down on distractions, maybe. Maybe they're a little distracted here. Who knows?
Maybe
right now, as they're a team that's trying to find a flow, find a rhythm. Maybe being on the road isn't the worst thing in the world.
Maybe they just couldn't get in a good rhythm at home from the start of the season, just because of the Pro Bull Riders tour that was here, and it kind of upset their schedule and their rhythm and timing.
Yeah.
They were in the Cox Pavilion for almost 2 weeks. Well, guess what's coming up around the corner? The
NFR.
So they won't get the opportunity to really get comfortable in their home probably until conference.
I love when we're able to just get Psych 101 on people here. It's awesome. It's just awesome.
We're going deep, people.
I love feeling smarter than I actually am.
Sounds good. Just keep yapping.
Any final comments before we bounce out of here until Wednesday night in Fresno?
I just hope that David Hall is not in Fresno and is not in Reno, because I'm not going to pin it on him, but his crew in the nightcap made a little bit of a mockery of the game. What was that, 54 fouls,
66
free throws.
Probably
the less we say, the better, or else he's going to tee us up next time he sees us.
That'd be kind of cool.
I can hit a couple free throws.
I feel like we'd have some street cred with tees, darn it.
We could get an inside-outside game going.
Yeah, you really could. That two-man NBA game, you post him up, I'll just dump it in. Done. Well, for Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. Be sure to tune in Wednesday night. We'll be with you after UNLV Fresno State from Fresno, California. We'll talk to you then. Take care.